Our first presentation is by Rhea Bright. She's a quality improvement specialist on the USAID Applying Science to Strengthen and Improve Systems project at the University Research Company in Bethesda. Ms. Bright provides technical assistance on prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV activities in Tanzania, as well as safe male circumcision for HIV prevention activities in Uganda. She has an MPH from UNC Chapel Hill and specializing in maternal and child health.
Good morning and thank you. Today I'll be presenting on our work in Tanzania that we did under the USAID Healthcare Improvement Project, transitioning to the WHO 2010 PMTCT and infant feeding guidelines at the local level, identifying and addressing operational challenges in Tanzania. I have no relationships to disclose. And just to give you a little bit of background, in July of 2010, the World Health Organization released new PMTCT. PMTCT stands for Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission of HIV Services guidelines in Tanzania. WHO released new 2010 guidelines for PMTCT and infant feeding. And as a result, the Tanzania Ministry of Health and Social Welfare revised their national guidelines to align with the 2010 guidelines, because prior to that, they were operating on the 2006 guidelines. And countrywide transitioning from the 2006 to the 2010 guidelines began in Tanzania in August of 2011. And what we did under the Healthcare Improvement Project was to pilot the WHO 2010 guidelines in three facilities that represented a slice of the health system. So we did it in a hospital, a health center, and a dispensary. And the objective of, or the overall goal of this activity, was to identify system requirements, operational setbacks, and to come up with solutions for large-scale rollout of the 2010 guidelines throughout Tanzania. And we did this pilot in Njombe, Tanzania. And basically, there are two key approaches to the 2010 guidelines, specifically lifelong ART to HIV-infected women to prevent transmission to the child. And this was new under the 2010 guidelines. Prior to that, it was not for lifelong. And then ARV prophylaxis during pregnancy and delivery and breastfeeding. Breastfeeding was the new addition underneath the 2010 guidelines. So the differences between the 2006 and the 2010 guidelines were specifically, one, earlier antiretroviral therapy for a larger group of pregnant women. And under the 2006 guidelines, pregnant women qualified for a treatment if they had a CD4 count of 200 or lower. And now under the 2010 guidelines, it was at 350. So now a larger group was eligible to receive treatment. And then provision of ARVs during the pregnancy and breastfeeding was a longer provision, because now they were recommending it during the breastfeeding period and also starting women on prophylaxis at an earlier gestational age. So instead of at 28 weeks under the 2006 guidelines, they were now starting them at 14 weeks gestational age. And then also thirdly, like I mentioned before, prophylaxis during the breastfeeding period. Now, we started off with a baseline assessment in July of 2011, and this was at the three facilities in Njombe, and we realized some of the barriers, and the purpose of doing the baseline assessment was to identify some of those challenges, to come up with solutions, to be able to provide feedback for rolling it out throughout the entire country. And the barriers that we identified were that some pregnant women were not being given a CD4 test, and they were actually turning pregnant women away from the care and treatment center because they didn't believe that they needed to be given a CD4 test during pregnancy. Also, there was a lack of access to sites with CD4 testing. It was only being provided at the hospital. And then also delayed results of the infant test results from the laboratory, and then no proper linkage from other baby pair follow-up. Some of the human resources barriers were an inadequate number of facility staff at all three facilities, and then, which also included rapid turnover. Less than 50% of the providers had received in-service training on the 2006 guidelines, and only 5% had received training on the updated 2010 guidelines. So you can imagine the challenges there. And then the information system, some of the barriers were that there was delayed provision of the PMTCT registers that aligned with the updated guidelines, and then as well inadequate documentation, and then with limited use of data at the facility level for improving services. And the Healthcare Improvement Project and also the Applying Science to Strengthen and Improve Systems Project, we provide technical assistance to facilities to actually help them to use quality improvement methods to improve the quality of their services, and that's why we noticed that, you know, they weren't using data to improve the quality of their services, and they were simply just reporting it up, and we saw an opportunity for them to actually use the data, identify gaps in care, come up with local solutions to address those gaps. Some of the other challenges were lack of storage, specifically because now underneath the new guidelines, more women were eligible for prophylaxis, so there was an increased increased demand on the supply, and they weren't, due to poor forecasting and then also lack of storage space, were having stockouts and things along those lines. And so after the baseline assessment, we conducted the pilot in August of 2011, and we wanted to apply the quality improvement methods that I mentioned to you to help them to identify problems and develop local solutions to address the challenges so that implementation could be rolled out smoothly. We also wanted to orient the PMTCT service delivery staff on the 2010 guidelines, and then also to help them to monitor their compliance on those guidelines, and then also to share best practices for recommendations. So we started off the pilot with a 3-day orientation on quality improvement methods and on the 2010 guidelines. And this orientation wasn't just for service providers, it was also for district level staff. We provided it for the council health management teams because we identified them as to serve as coaches for the facility staff because they already provide supportive supervision to the staff, and they can serve as support systems for the staff in using quality improvement methods within the facilities. And we also helped them to form QI teams at the three facilities and at the district levels, and developed indicators to help them monitor their progress. And so basically some of the results based on implementing small changes to processes and care, we saw a great improvement in CD4 testing, which was extremely important. You can see that in August 2011, when we first started the pilot, we were at around 44% of women being assessed for ART eligibility via CD4 test. And in March of 2012, we're almost at 90%. And you can see that the provider was saying that earlier we did not check for CD4 count unless they gave until after they gave birth and enrolled in the care and treatment center. And then also now the providers are saying that, you know, we are checking pregnancy, the CD4 test during pregnancy, and it helps to determine the immune status and guides the decision for ARV prophylaxis and treatment at an earlier stage. Now we're even prioritizing pregnant women and accepting samples on a daily basis, and we do not send them away. So you can see how some of the changes that they made to achieve this improvement. The facilities were doing really well with giving ARVs soon after birth to the exposed infants, and also discharging infants with nevirapine syrup. The only time you see a drop off is when there was an issue with the supplies at the facility, and the council health management teams actually helped them to redistribute the nevirapine syrup from other facilities that were overstocked to improve upon that. Also, breastfeeding and giving nevirapine during the breastfeeding period, we saw that the sites were also doing really well with that because on average about 90% of the breastfeeding HIV-exposed infants were receiving nevirapine syrup. And also some of the challenges that we noticed with breastfeeding was that some of the moms were not exclusively breastfeeding, and they started mixed feeding earlier than the guidelines recommend, and it was due to the belief that mother's milk wasn't enough or that their babies needed water, and then the mothers were also concerned about their infants being on prophylaxis for an extended period of time, which was longer than under the 2006 guidelines. So in conclusion, We found that the 2010 guidelines for PMTCT and infant feeding are feasible, but it requires support from all levels of the health system. And we saw how the community could be involved, specifically with helping to, you know, educate the mothers and encourage them to come into the facilities for follow-up care, things along those lines. Facility staff can also monitor their own data and identify operational setbacks and come up with solutions to address those setbacks. And the council health management teams can also support the facility staff and also support the rollout in other areas. As far as recommendations for the health information system, prior to implementing any set of new guidelines, it's very helpful and necessary to make sure that the facilities have the updated guidelines at the facilities and updated registers and reporting forms, and also making sure that there's improved access to the trainings, because we saw that only about 5% of the providers at the three facilities had received training on the updated guidelines, and we know that funding is also plays a large role in that. But maybe if only one or two providers from each facility can receive training, then they can go back and serve as champions and provide training on site as well. And then also training the council health management team members to support the quality improvement activities at the facility level and involving the community to help strengthen the continuum of care. And lastly, we saw how the supply chain management affects the quality of services delivered at the facility. So that's something that we also need to work on, especially now that countries are transitioning to option B and B plus. And women are being put on ART for life, we would need to make sure that the supplies can support that. So thank you.